sponsored by JMR Rentals, professional digital cinema and broadcast equipment rentals in Brooklyn, New York. JMRNY.com.
Hello and welcome to No Rest for the Weekend. I'm Jason Godby, and today on the program, we're giving you our preview of upcoming summer movies. And to help me do that, joining me for the first time in the studio, she is a filmmaker and the host of the podcast, They Came from Outer Space, Miss Cameron Kitt.
Hi, Jason.
Welcome.
Thanks. I feel so welcome.
You know, usually I thank people for making the schlep to Brooklyn, but you're already from Brooklyn.
It wasn't much of a schlep, honestly. It was a nice little walk.
Not too bad.
It was great.
But thanks for coming. I appreciate this. I think this is going to be a fun episode. There are a whole host of summer movies. Now, we've talked about some of these in our anticipated movies episode and things like that. I would love to get some of your insight. When I did the initial news episodes about movies coming out, there were so many sequels, and franchise movies don't have as many of those here. But first off, starting out, we have a rom-com, The Idea of You, coming out May 2nd. It's a summer romance with Anne Hathaway. And according to IMDb, she plays a 40-year-old single mom who begins an unexpected romance with a 24-year-old whose name is Hayes Campbell, played by Nicholas Galitzine. He's the lead singer of August Moon, which is a popular boy band. So this is like somebody from NSYNC in the 90s.
No, dating. I saw the trailer.
You saw the trailer for this?
I'll be honest. I watched a 3-hour YouTube video about romance yesterday and like the history of it. So while I would be one of those women
like
that wants
romantic comedy or the concept of
the
romance?
The concept of romance films, like okay. Eros, like what it, like desire, like what it makes a film a romance and like why it's not something we should all make fun of. But I saw that trailer and I was like, okay, like I was not turned off by it. I normally think that a 10-year age gap is gross, no matter what side you're coming from. But I would watch it. Are we doing like I will watch in secret.
Are you looking for?
I would buy the tickets.
I would look forward to it. Yes, like if you want to do a little rating system of like go see it,
yeah.
stream it, or skip it,
or hide it, or watch it but hide it or skip it. I think watch it but tell no one. I'm gonna say stream it.
My biggest thing, I saw the trailer. Anne Hathaway does not look 40.
She looks younger?
Oh, my God.
I thought she was 28. Yeah,
yeah,
I thought she was 28.
Like she's like the same age as his.
Yeah.
I mean, well, he looks very young.
Yeah.
But unless he's like 16 and she's 30, I don't understand the controversy.
No, that's such
here.
A good point because until you read the log line, I didn't know that that was the source of tension in the relationship. I thought it was just that she was a normie. I thought it was just that she like wasn't famous and
yeah,
he was
right.
dating you and he's like, you're just like, you're so normal for me and I love that. Like, the fact that she's 40 makes it so much better, but you're absolutely right. That woman is fillered up. She is looking fresh and young. She's not actually looking 40.
She's glowing.
If this is supposed to be like supportive of women in their 40s, because I've been saying, where are the women in their 40s in film, right? They've been nowhere. She's not really a good example because she's not relatable. She hasn't aged since the Batman, since she played Catwoman,
right,
and
right.
that was 10 years ago. So.
Right. And she's
whoever's handling that, good job.
Yeah, she's looking great, Anne Hathaway.
So the basis of romance, or a solid romance, is the sense of desire, which means that you can't have something fulfilled. So I'm imagining him being young and going on tour. But I'm having a hard time seeing where the plot could be good. So let's hope.
Yeah, you know? I mean, you know, they look real pretty.
Movie star look hot.
Like if she,
I won't see kiss.
If that's the premise, they both look.
He looks like he doesn't have a single blade of body hair. And I mean, that's some people's thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he just looks nubile and fresh.
If you're into BTS, if you're into the nubile and fresh.
Yeah. All right. So the next movie, which we've actually discussed this movie a little bit on the show, Eric McClanahan was very much in favor of this. It's The Fall Guy. I don't know if you've seen this trailer with Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. It's based on the 80s television show, which I actually saw with Lee Majors. I don't know if you know Lee Majors, but he was a $6 million man. This doesn't look like it has actually much to do with the TV show. And it's Ryan Gosling playing a stuntman. And I think he's playing the stuntman for Aaron Taylor Johnson, who's like the movie star.
I've seen the trailer for this, too.
They both look exactly the same. Kind mm-hmm. of thing.
Yeah, but he's an ugly stuntman.
Yeah, like seriously. Ryan Gosling is the stuntman. Again, this is like Anne Hathaway playing 40.
I prefer action romance. If I'm going to get, like, my favorite romance movie is Pacific Rim, right? I mean, like,
you know, this movie I think is directed, I want to say it's directed by David Leitch, but you were asking me about how many women directors that we have directing films this summer.
You can have a movie that has a pretend woman director if you want to go get that experience.
Who looks like Emily Blunt?
The only movie I've seen that's like a somewhat big release that's coming out this summer that has a female director is the Amy Winehouse movie.
All right, we'll talk about that in a second.
But this one, it's like, cool, I guess we'll have representation. I mean, I'll take it. I would love to see Emily Blunt truly direct a movie.
She probably will. I mean, you know, at some point.
It looked cute. It looked a little overblown studio made, you know, like kind of like a little Spielberg-y.
It looks very fancy.
It looks fancy and maybe like a little overspent on the budget, right? Like maybe too much money. But
well, you know, he's got like Deadpool 2 money. You know, like, so he's doing all right, that director.
I'm going to say I would stream it. I mean, I don't think I'm going to go to the theater for it, but I think, what about you?
It takes a lot to get me to go to the movies these days.
It might be a date movie, right?
Yeah, it could be a fun date movie. All right, so the next film I have is not your typical summer fare. It's called Wildcat. Have you heard of this picture?
Mm-mm, I haven't heard of it.
All right, so Ethan Hawke directs his daughter, Maya Hawke, who is playing Flannery O'Connor. So according to IMDb, the story takes place in 1950. This is a time in O'Connor's life when she was struggling to publish her first novel. She also has a degenerative disease, I think. She's been diagnosed with lupus at the age of 24, and she's struggling with the disease that also took her father's life. So this is not a happy action movie. I saw the trailer for it. The press company sent me the trailer for it, which is how I know about this film, because it's not really wildly
publicized.
Not yet anyway, but hopefully, you know, it'll get some play. I'm kind of wondering about this as like a, you know, summer-ish release. You know, Ethan Hawke, he's directed some documentaries. I think this may be like his first real feature narrative that he's doing. And Maya Hawke, I think, is doing well. She's coming into her own as an actor.
She's got good genes
for it.
I'd be interested to see a dad directing his daughter. But I also think it's a little presumptive to be like, yeah, my daughter is Flannery O'Connor. Like, but, you know, okay. I probably won't watch it.
Okay. You probably won't watch it at all.
I like to pretend that I care about this like highbrow stuff, right? Like I like to pretend, but when it comes down to watching it, I don't know. Well, I like stuff that teaches you about history. I would love to know a little bit of what goes into some of the writing of some of her famous books. Maybe there's something like that. But you got to give me something a little more than just Ethan Hawke and his daughter.
I will say it's like sort of feminist theme. Because, you know, it's a young woman trying to write a novel in the 50s and kind of coming up against the establishment.
That was in the trailer?
Like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, somewhat. And people are telling her, like, hey, your stuff's really dark, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, and she kind of defined the voice of the South.
For Flannery O'Connor enthusiasts, this could be the movie for you.
All right.
So here's another film you mentioned, Back to Black. This is the Amy Winehouse biopic.
Yes, this is the female-directed film.
This is the one. Oh, God.
This is it.
So I don't know this actress's work. Marissa Abella, do you know her?
She was in Barbie for like 20 seconds.
Okay. I saw the trailer, a little bit of the trailer anyway, and she does look like...
Exactly like...
It looks like
Amy
Winehouse.
Okay, I thought the same thing. And I was like, that more than anything makes me want to go watch it because they did such a good job with the nose piece and everything.
Yeah,
and...
But here's the thing. I've seen... I think 2 documentaries about Amy Winehouse.
Oh, I haven't. No.
And if you see the documentaries, like, do you need this picture? Because there's a trend in Hollywood now, like, a doc did really well, so now we got to make the movie of the doc.
Well, we're in sequel land, right? We're in only make things about things people already know.
Known property.
We already own known IP. I'm going to be honest. I don't like seeing people drug overdose stuff. I never liked that. Never into that. Like I watched Gia recently and the whole second half of the movie, I was like, cool. That's just my personal taste, right? Some people really love Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
My boyfriend's one of them. He loves Amy Winehouse. And so he'll probably want to watch it.
Yeah. Okay. You know.
Yeah. But like, do we need this movie? I don't know.
Yeah.
What are we learning?
Definitely,
it depends
I would definitely
on how it's
made. See the documentaries. There's a couple of good documentaries about her.
There's so many different ways you can tell her story that would be valuable to people, right?
Sure.
Like what elements of her story that would be useful to the world,
right?
Her rise, her fame, what would be interesting? If it's one of these, like, if it's like Gia, where it's like romanticizing the drug use, we don't know. But who knows? It might be different.
Well, she didn't want to go to rehab. No, no, no. So there is that.
What if they do that? And they're like, he's like, I tried to make her go to rehab and I said no. no. Like, what if they try to do that? The line read? That'd be really funny.
Yeah, it would.
And she's like, that's a great idea.
Tragically, blackly, ironically funny.
Didn't she die when she was 27?
She was in that club, yeah. Or 26, I think.
I think there's
like
a little bit of romanticizing. But
yes.
Let's hope it's not like that.
All right, so moving on. This one is called If. I-F.
Krasinski, right?
It's John Krasinski, the other half of the Blunt Krasinski power couple.
I would say the lesser half, honestly. although
well, he's the taller half.
He is. You know what? We can't say lesser. They are a really amazing power couple. What a dream. I loved. Yeah, and we'll get to the other movie that's related to them. I just saw the poster for this. What is this movie?
So it stars Ryan Reynolds. According to IMDb, If is the story of a young girl who goes through a difficult experience as she begins to see everyone's imaginary friends who have been left behind as people grow up. So this to me reminds me of like Inside Out.
Yeah, it sounds like a Pixar movie.
Yeah, but it's live action.
Yeah, I don't know. Just based on the log line, I'm out. Like, if I'm a shark, I'm like, ooh, and because of that, I'm out. But John Krasinski did so well with A Quiet Place.
Yeah.
That I have to believe that he picks good scripts.
See, here's the thing, though. Like,
he has to have picked a good script. Please.
It's a family film. And, like, I always have, like, the trailer guy voice in my head where he's like, from the people who brought you Deadpool.
Yeah, exactly.
And The Quiet Place.
Yeah. It's a child's movie about seeing, like, just based on the, yeah. I think they messed up with the poster because the poster looks exactly like a Pixar Disney film. But again, it is kind of copying Inside Out, right? Yeah. This idea of like inner monologues being brought to life. So I don't know.
We'll see.
I like him.
There's another Inside Out coming too. So if you liked Inside Out, you're going to get an Inside Out 2 this year. Okay. So this next one. I know that you're a big sci-fi fan.
Yes, sir.
Are you a fan of the current crop of Planet of the Apes movies?
Okay. I didn't want to watch them because I find monkeys in general to be uncanny. And I was forced to watch one of them and forced to admit that they are almost all good. Not every single one of them is amazing, but once you have watched it long enough to forget that you're watching CGI, yeah, they're almost all pretty well made. I mean, Rise of the Planet of the Apes I really did like. So I am going to go see this. This is a go see it.
This is set many years after the reign of Caesar.
Right.
It's a young ape goes on a journey that will lead him to question what he's been taught about the past, about apes and about humans. So
right.
This, I think, is in like the Charlton Heston time.
Well, it's getting closer.
It's getting closer.
I like the idea of like the monkey Piscine, right? Ape of Piscine. Right, they're really big on saying ape. They don't say monkey.
The ape universe.
The ape, well, you know, like the ape period of reign of time. I'm interested in it. I wasn't interested in it. I really didn't want to see any of them. But as soon as I actually did watch it, I'm going to be honest with you. My question is it the same people who are making all of these? Because I think there's like 7 of them so far.
This is going to be the 4th one in this series. Here's my trivia question to people. Because of the naming system of these, name the first 3 films in order.
Planet of the Apes. Return to the Planet of the Apes?
No, that's the original Planet of the
Apes.
No,
I don't know. Rise of the Planet of the Apes, I thought was the first one. No.
Okay, so
I don't know any
there's
of the names.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
That's the first one.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
God.
And then War of the Planet of the Apes.
I just saw that one. Very good.
So that would be my game show question for people.
So if which order is that?
Name the 3 films before this and which order they came in.
If this is a continuation of that series, I'm going to go see it in theaters.
It looks great. I mean, I'm not a big, you know, CGI ape dude myself, but they have done a great job with these things. All right, so the next film, and I'm kind of curious to see this one. So were you a Mad Max Fury Road fan?
Take a wild guess. Look at my haircut and see what you think. Just take a wild guess.
I love that movie. It's one of my favorite films, especially of that year. I wish it would have won Best Picture. I've said this before. So this, we're getting the prequel. We're getting Furiosa. And this is Anya Taylor-Joy playing the Charlize Theron character, Furiosa, who is in Fury Road. Chris Hemsworth also stars, and it's directed by the same director,
awesome.
George Miller.
Yeah, George Miller. How old is he? He's like,
he's 75 years old.
Coming up on 80. And yeah. But you know what? I'll watch it.
He's all like, let's show these kids how it's done.
I think Anya Taylor-Joy is becoming like peanut butter and jelly sandwich for me, where I might have had it too much. Do you know? Like, I'm like, at first it was my favorite thing in the world when I saw The Witch. I was like, I can't believe I've never had this, you know? And now I'm like, ooh, maybe she's been put in too many things. She doesn't look anything like Charlize Theron.
No, she's probably a foot shorter than Charlize Theron as well.
So, like, you know, I don't know. Like, casting-wise, but I will watch it and I will go see it in theaters. I still say witness me before I jump in any pool.
I want to see that. All right. So we got to move through these quickly because we're running out of time.
Okay.
But, okay, the next one is The Crow. So mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember the Brandon Lee Crow from
course,
the movies.
Classic, one of best.
The picture that he passed away
can't
on
be
tragically.
Touched. Yeah.
So Eric Draven is now being played by Bill Skarsgård, who was the clown in It.
Yeah, the lesser Skarsgård.
The younger Skarsgård, the maybe taller. I don't know. They're all tall and blonde. They all look...
Sorry, I'm ranking everyone now.
They're very Swedish looking. Basically, I think it's pretty much a remake of that first movie with a new modern twist. I've seen images of him looking very goth kid kind of thing. Any interest for this movie?
It's the same. The question you asked is really good. Do we need this? It's sort of like the live action Avatar. Have I ever watched an animated film and thought, I really wish adults and children played this live action and slightly worse? There's never been a time that I've watched a remake. There's very rarely a remake is worth any value to our society except for the pure interest in making money.
Sometimes they're better. Sometimes you get a very rare case.
But 95% of the time, it's purely a money grab. It's a joyless cash grab with an attempt to hit Gen Z as if they have never heard of The Crow.
I think this is a reboot for a younger generation. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know if anybody cares. But hey, it's there. It's gonna be there.
They can figure out how to be goth without this movie.
They're digging through them comic book properties like crazy. All right, so Inside Out 2.
No. I cried watching the first Inside Out, but what?
She's a teenager now. You were a teenage girl. You don't want to see a story about a teenage girl?
It's more that my anger at sequel culture has outshone my ability to be interested in some films that I probably would be interested
You've
in.
You've lost your objectivity.
I have. You know what? I'll probably watch it with my family. Stream it.
Okay. From the Quiet Place universe, Quiet Place Day One.
Okay, I will go see this in theaters as soon as I can. I hate to say sequel culture gets me, but this is prequel culture. Prequel culture is different. And I really, really, really love Day One invasion or like outbreak stuff. I can't help it.
Okay.
So I'm going to go see it.
Okay.
Different director, though.
Yeah, John Krasinski was too busy directing If to direct this. We'll see. I don't know. I haven't seen any of the Quiet Place movies
just
yet.
Just that concept of like Day One invasion running around stories, those just really get me. They never do them. They don't do them enough because they're expensive.
Right.
Right? Day One is expensive. Lots
Aftermath
of crashing.
Is much easier.
Aftermath. Easy. Yeah, exactly. Right. One actor, maybe a dog. But I'm going to go see it.
All right. So then we've got Twisters, which is like a 20-year legacy.
Oh.
I'm going to call it a legacy sequel to the 90s movie Twister. They are storm chasers. You can kind of fill in the blanks
like,
with
honey,
this
one. Honey, we have the original at home. You know, I just don't understand. The original is so good. The original gave me a deep-seated fear of tornadoes that I've never gotten over. It's like the biggest thing I fear because of watching that movie as a kid on VHS. The original's great. CGI, kind of meh. But like, I watched the trailer for this and I was eye rolling so hard, my eyes almost got stuck in the back of my head. I was like, oh gosh, do we really? And it, yeah. Even the same jokes.
Yeah.
No, pass.
Okay. Hard. All right. So enough said. Then we've got Beverly Hills Cop. This is coming to Netflix, I believe. Beverly Hills Cop Axel F. This is old man Axel, although Eddie Murphy looks terrific. Everybody around him, though, in the trailer, looks like they're 100 years old.
But why? It's just like the Ghostbusters thing we were talking about. Like, it's like, I mean, it looks cute.
They brought back Judge Reinhold and John Ashton, Paul Reiser, Bronson Pinchot. They did throw in some new people like Joseph Gordon-Levitt's going to be in there, Kevin Bacon. I like all those people.
And like, okay, I have a question for you.
Go for it.
Is any of this related to the strike? Are all these things coming out?
Do you think this is strike ball?
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, is this just because this is what they could get, right? The writers that they could get that weren't on strike? Like, I don't know. Is this the result?
This is what they dug out of the recycling bin.
Right? Was this, like, had already been made? Like, what? Like this summer really feels kind of dry.
You know, I think we're still seeing some after effects from COVID.
Uh-huh.
You know, especially because what I've been getting a lot in my inbox in terms of come see this, come review this, are so many documentaries.
And independent films.
And little independent films, which is fine. But as far as the big, you know, studio fare, I also think, you know, I just saw an article in Deadline that was saying, you know, Hollywood is going through a real recession/depression now. We're seeing that. And because people are just not going to the theater.
Yeah.
So this one, I mean, you know,
they're not back. We're not back fully, right?
We're not there yet. And I think they still have kind of underestimated the loss that they took the hit that they took from COVID. Mm-hmm. That was 2 years practically. Nobody's going to the theater.
Because the production time that it takes to get something approved, written, greenlit, shot, and edited is can be a couple years. Sometimes it's only a year, but most of the time it's at least 2 to 3 years, right?
Right. And now with these big movies, too, you got to think about reshoots and effects and all that stuff that they're putting in them. I mean, you know, Marvel, we're going to talk about them next. They're putting out one movie this year instead of like 12 and two different series.
That's interesting.
So here we go.
Okay, great way to segue.
This is, okay, so we've got Deadpool and Wolverine, a.k.a. Deadpool 3, comes out July 26th. Ryan Reynolds, Hugh Jackman. All right, so the story is Wolverine is recovering from his injuries when he crosses paths with the loudmouth Deadpool. They team up to defeat a common enemy. This sounds like a comic book. Now, what's more intriguing than the plot is the meta plot and the cast. So we're going to get some of the characters from the previous Deadpool movies. We're going to get Vanessa. We're going to get Marina Baccarin, Brianna Hildebrandt as Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Oh, I loved them.
Yeah, she's adorable. Leslie Uggams as Blind Al. Dupinder is back.
What about the girl that used luck as her power for the second Deadpool?
I don't know if she's in it.
She was like one of my favorites. I've seen it a long
Domino.
Time. Yeah.
But Cable, and there are people who are listed on IMDb as, quote, rumored. So not official, but rumored that they're in the movie. So Josh Brolin as Cable, rumored. Patrick Stewart as Professor X,
rumored.
Also rumored. But listed, we've got people like Aaron Stanford, who played Pyro in the Fox X-Men universe.
Wow.
He was in X2 and Last Stand. Jennifer Garner is listed as Elektra.
Oh, wow.
So.
Oh, I'd actually love that.
Deadpool
is one of the only films that, like, actually the series that really understands, like, what the audience wants, right? It was the first, like, kind of X-rated, almost R-rated level violence for the Marvel film franchise, right? They really had to convince them. It was very funny in a way that most Marvel movies are not, right? It's very self-referential in a way that most Marvel movies started to copy after the success of it. And it is one of the sequels that kind of can maybe withstand sequel culture. I do think that the second one was markedly less fun than the first because the, you know, patina had worn off a little. But he has been, I have to say, he's really been building this up. There's a lot of reference to Wolverine in both the movies.
Right.
So they really had been teeing it up. So it seems like there was a plan at least in place. I have to say, marketing-wise, it seems like they're doing a great job. I'm sure they're going to get a lot of butts in seats.
Here's my fear for this movie. This look, by the trailers alone, it and the meta nature of Deadpool, I feel like they're looking at this movie as like a panacea for the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
They want to fix everything, including bringing in the Fox stuff, which wasn't great to begin with.
Well, I'm sure they're going to make fun of it.
Right, but just because you're hanging a lamp on it doesn't mean it's...
You're absolutely right. This is the problem in general with the studio system. The reason Deadpool did so well is because they gave them tons of free agency, and the guy who directed it was a stuntman, and he went absolutely nutso with it, right? It was so different. It was so unique. And they go, cool, let's do that different, unique thing again, and then again. And by that point, it kind of had lost its shine. And you can't stuff everything inside of something that you're seeing for the third time and hope that it just magically is perfect.
They are using the rebellious, you know, movie that bucked the system to fix the system.
Exactly. And it cannot work. That can never work, right? It's sort of like anytime a brand tries to make an ad with a meme in it. Have you ever seen this? And you're just like, it's so obvious. So, like, yes, it worked great the first time. The second time, it was already starting to wear off. The third time, it can't fix everything. Will the movie be funny? Almost undoubtedly, right? Like, Ryan Reynolds has proved that he is funny. The scriptwriters are funny. But will it fix everything? Fix it mean? Fix it doesn't mean bring home $700 trillion. And no.
We could spend an entire episode or 12 talking about the Marvel Universe.
I'd rather not.
You know, for me, and I think a lot of people like me, after Endgame, I was like, all right, I'm done. I finished my contract. I did my time.
I'm done caring.
I love these characters. You killed some of them off or they went away. I don't care about the new people. I don't care about Miss Marvel. I don't care about Captain Marvel. I don't care about the other Captain Marvel.
That's because all these movies suck. These movies suck. The characters in the comics are often pretty fun. But the movies, I literally saw, there was a Disney exec who said the reason that the Marvels movie, the Marvels, didn't do well is because there wasn't enough executive input. I was like, oh, that's, oh, of course. There weren't enough executives giving input on this story that obviously looks like a Band-Aid with 1,500 Band-Aids on top of it.
Yeah.
And then they say, well, why didn't women's content do well? Anyway, the point is, I'm not sure I'll see it in theaters.
It'll be on Disney Plus.
Many families, dads and sons and friends will go.
Yeah, this will make a gajillion dollars from hopeful people who want to fix the Marvel Universe.
Maybe not a gajillion.
But, you know, I don't know. I'm skeptical. But anyway, on that happy note.
I was like, oh, I hope I see you guys in the movie theater.
And we'll see you at the movies. All right, you're too young for that reference, but for people who want to find you, listen to your podcast, where can they find you and your work online?
Cameron_Kit is Instagram. You can find all the films I make. I make feminist sci-fi stuff. I also do documentary, and my podcast is called They Came From Outer Space. You can find it on Apple or Spotify. Just search for They Came From Outer Space podcast.
And that's all the time we have for today. Thanks so much for taking this trip down the rabbit hole. For more of our content, including our movie reviews, visit our website, norestfortheweekendpodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app or on YouTube, youtube.com/getbehindtherabbit. I'd like to thank my guest, Cameron Kitt, and our sponsor, JMR Rentals. For Behind the Rabbit Productions, I'm Jason Godby. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
This is the BTRP Media Network.